All this while, the guide, Mr. Greatheart, was very well pleased and smiled upon his companion. Now, as they walked along together, the guide asked the old gentleman if he did not know one Mr. Fearing that came on pilgrimage out of his parts.
Oh, Mr. Fearing, you say? Oh, yes, I know him very well. He truly had an honest heart in him, but I must add that he was one of the most troublesome pilgrims I ever met with in all my days.
Aye, thou dost know him indeed, for thou hast described him to a T. When did you first make his acquaintance?
Oh, I knew him at the very beginning.
So early on?
Oh, yes. It was when we had both just begun to think upon the destruction that we saw to be coming our way. And you? When did you make his acquaintance?
I was his guide from my master's house to the gates of the Celestial City.
Oh, he made it through then, did he?
Oh, yes. Finally.
Oh, I hear in your voice that you found him to be quite the trial.
To say the least.
Do narrate his story to us, for if Mr. Fearing should make it through, it will certainly encourage us.
Well,
yes, do. We have many miles to travel, and it will improve the time.
Christiana?
Oh, I would love to hear of him. He sounds to be an interesting fellow.
As you wish it. I first heard of him at the Slough of Despond, where he stood hesitating for over a month.
A month?
Yes. I hear that his conversation there went something like this.
Oh, me! Oh, my! How shall I ever get over?
Well, hello there. Going over, are you?
Well, I think I should, maybe. Maybe like to someday, perhaps.
Well, good. I'm going over myself. Come along.
Wait! Not so fast. Who art thou?
Trust. Trust be my name. And thou?
Fearing.
Fearing, you say?
Yes.
Interesting name. What is thy given name?
Always be.
Always be. Always be Fearing. Can't say as I've ever met any of your family before. You must live in a different neighborhood than I.
Yes, I fear so.
Well, shall we cross over?
Now?
Of course, now. Now is all there ever is.
But later?
Nay, there's no such thing. When later gets here, it changes its name to now. Come.
How about tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow is an even worse villain than later. It doth never come. Therefore, off with us.
Oh, me. Oh, my.
What dost thou fear?
Fear? Oh, I don't know. Mostly everything, and perhaps a little bit of nothing.
But this is the way.
Yes.
And if we would be saved, we must cross over.
Yes.
And prompt beginnings mean quick endings.
Yes.
Then let us begin.
So soon?
Yes, for now is the appointed time for salvation.
Already?
Hath not thy Lord called thee?
Oh, to be sure.
You're not turning back, are you?
Oh, no. Never. I would die first. It's just that...
That what?
That I'm so fearful.
Of what? Thinkest thou that he who hath paid for thy soul will not call for and care for his own?
No, I don't think so. It's just that I'm so...
Fearful?
Yes, that's it. I'm a bit fearful.
How long hast thou been here?
Here?
Standing at the edge of the Slough of Despond. How long?
Oh, I'm ashamed to tell thee.
I know. But how long?
A month.
30 days?
Yes.
Surely in 4 weeks you have seen many people go over.
Yes, many.
Did any drown?
Only those that were trying to come back, as did Pliable.
But of pilgrims who kept their eye on the light, did any drown?
Nay. In fact, some of the bolder ones, such as Confidence and Belief and Depend On, got over with hardly any mud to spoil the shine on their shoes. I doubt not but that it will go the same with thee, Mr. Trest.
Well, today is an exceptionally bright day. So bright is the sun shining today that I believe that I can even see the steps.
Oh, I don't know.
We don't need to know. Why, with the bright light to guide us, and all of these promises to keep us dry, we cannot lose. Come on now.
Well...
But look, friend, I'd be crossing over now. Here, I'll take thy hand.
Oh, no! No, no!
Not good enough, huh? Well, then shall I carry thee?
Carry me?
Sure, trust can carry thee over the most difficult places in the world, if thou wilt let him.
No.
The promises of God, good man, the promises! The Word of God is just as powerful now as when it spoke the universe into being. If the Word commands, then the Word enables. Come on now, up you go!
Oh, not yet! Oh, not yet! Oh, put me down, please!
Why?
I fear I might be too heavy.
Too heavy? Dear fearful, all the fears in the world may ride on the back of trust and not burden him a bit. On we go.
Oh, my! Oh, my!
Having a good trip?
Are we really crossing?
Canst thou not see?
My eyes are closed.
That is no way to behold the providence of God. Why, we're nearly over.
So quickly, but I've seen some people take hours, even days.
Those times are for ordinary people. But for such as us, a few seconds is enough.
Oh, my.
There you are.
Oh.
And nearly dry shod at that.
I can't believe it. Oh, me. I can't believe it. Are we really over?
Yea, more than over, and with nary a stain upon either of us.
But why was it so easy for us?
For the fearful, God smooths the way. And for the trusting, God gives increased strength. In either case, the crossing is easy. Come, off to the wicket gate.
Oh, I don't know. I can hardly believe we are really over.
Well, look.
Yes? I see the slough lies behind us.
Look ahead!
Yes, there standeth the wicket gate.
Shall I carry thee thence as well?
Oh, no need of that. I should go on my own, I think.
As you wish it. But remember, when thou comest to the gate, knock, and it shall be opened to you. Don't be standing without, afraid to enter in. Farewell.
Yes, adieu.
He was fearful, wasn't he?
Yes, he stayed at the edge of the slough for many hours. For although he was over, he could hardly believe it could have been so easy.
Perhaps he carried his own slough of despond in his mind.
Indeed.
How long was he at the gate?
Oh, perhaps days. Many who came after he went in before him. He stood there shaking and shrinking back.
Did not the example of others inspire him with hope?
Nay, it only made him more ashamed that he was not as they, and made him doubt even more that he was worthy to enter in. Finally, however, he managed to give a small rap or two.
Is someone knocking? Who knocks?
I...
Well?
Oh...
Dear friend, fall not to the ground in fear. This is a place appointed for thy comfort.
Indeed? For one such as I?
Peace be to thee. Up, for I have set before thee an open door, which no man can shut.
For me?
Yea, here.
Oh.
Now, come in. For thou art blessed.
Oh, I do thank thee, my lord. Thank thee, I do. But art thou sure such a fearful one as I may enter here?
Did I not say come in?
Yes, but...
There are no buts in the kingdom of God. Come.
Yes, sir.
Good man, thou must keep well in mind that if God, by one of his messengers, says unto thee, come in, that is exactly what is meant.
Yes, sir.
To linger at the door is to call God mistaken or a liar.
Oh, I would never do that.
Then come. Here, enter in and let thy face be lifted up and shining.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'm so ashamed of being so ashamed of myself.
Oh, how slow of heart to believe God's great love. But do tell, did he learn his lesson at the wicket gate?
The thoughts of a lifetime are not so easily changed as that. But he did his best, and there was some change.
What about when he came to the interpreter's house?
Oh, it was the same story. He came to our door, but was afraid to knock. Yea, even though the nights were growing cold, he stayed without until he was like to have starved and frozen himself. Yea, as before, he watched many a pilgrim come after him and enter before.
What? Again?
Aye, and that even though he had a special letter from the king that we should bed him in the finest room and feed him with food from the king's own table.
And still he was afraid?
Aye. For all I know, he might still be standing without, except that I chanced to see him come to the door, raise his hand to knock, and then retire. This he repeated a dozen times in my sight, but never could he knock.
Poor man.
Aye. Finally, I went down and reported it to the interpreter, who sent me out to fetch him in forthwith. But I must tell thee that I had a hard time of it.
Indeed.
Yea, no matter what I spake to him of the love and willingness of God to have him come in, he continued to speak of his unworthiness. Finally, by taking his letter from him and showing him our king's seal, and by almost carrying him, I was able to persuade him.
And how did he do when once in?
He was much encouraged by the place. After he had recovered his strength, he and I set out.
Was he cheered up by then?
Not overly. He was of such a chicken heart that nearly everything made him fear. But there was one place that made him as close to cheerful as ever he got.
Where?
That was when he saw the cross and the sepulchre. He desired leave of me to gaze upon that scene for a goodly time. The water stood in his eyes, and when he finally consented to go, he seemed to be about as cheery as ever he was before or after. Also, he kept looking back at the sepulchre, and running his arms over his shoulders, as if searching for something that was no longer there.
What happened at the hill difficulty?
He complained not a whit, but ascended right up.
And when he came to the lions?
Straight on through them.
He began to pick up courage, did he?
Nay, I finally understood that his fears were not of things without, such as lions and giants, but rather of things within. That is, he distrusted his evil heart.
It sounds to be a good thing.
It is. But when once God takes away our stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh, we are to go forward in newness of life, and let him that hath begun a good work in us complete it. Mr. Fearing made the journey much harder for himself by not believing the promises of God.
How did he do at the House Beautiful?
Well, he was very shy around the beautiful damsels of the place, and desired to be much alone. But whenever there was good conversation on godly things, you could count on him to be hanging about the door, or just outside the window, or hiding behind a screen to hear. He also loved to visit the museum and behold the tokens of victories won.
So, he enjoyed it there?
Oh, very much. He later confided that he would have liked to have stayed there much longer.
Why didn't he? None are dismissed from thence until they desire to go on.
He was afraid to ask permission, and so on he went.
Poor man.
But how did it go for him in the Valley of Humiliation?
He went into that valley with nary a slip, and stayed there many a day. He would rise early and walk up and down the valley until after sundown. He would sometimes lie down to embrace the ground and to kiss the flowers that grew there. Yea, I never saw him so happy as in that valley.
Oh, I am happy for the man.
Yea, he seemed to be made for the place. But finally, we had to be off.
Where to next?
Why, through the valley we have just passed through. My, I thought we would lose him there.
Why? Was he wanting to turn back?
No, that was never his temptation. But he was ready to die for fear of the hobgoblins. In fact, he cried out in fear so much that I began to be afraid myself.
You? Afraid of what?
Demons have a sense about them that makes them quick to gather about the fearful. He kept saying, "Oh, the hobgoblins will have me! The hobgoblins will have me!" I felt sure that they would hear his crying out and carry him off indeed.
But in that valley, the power of demons is imaginary.
Not to one who fears them. I tell you true, I thought I would have to fight my way through a million of them with no one to back me with one prayer of faith.
And did you?
Nay. Mysteriously, the valley was quieter than I have ever seen it in all my passages.
Why so?
I believe our Lord sent extra legions of angels to hold the demons in check.
Why?
Because the Lord allows no temptation to come that is stronger than we can bear. Apparently, one hobgoblin would have been too much for Mr. Fearing, and so there was none.
'Tis a merciful God we serve.
Indeed.
How did he do in Vanity Fair?
Oh, you would not believe how he was there. He was not one whit tempted by all their foolishness, and said so in no uncertain terms. Why, I feared he was going to get us both knocked in the head and put into the cage by his loud denunciations of their wickedness. But again, God was merciful, and we passed through without even a mob to surround us.
And what about when you passed the enchanted ground?
There, where most men grow sleepy, he was wide awake as he could be. Yea, the journey was easy until...
Until what?
Until he came to the river that hath no bridge.
I blame him not for fearing that place. I have some doubts about it myself.
Most do, but he much more so. As we looked upon the river, he began to be very heavy of heart.
Oh, woe is me, woe is me.
Why so say?
Look, there is no bridge to cross over.
Aye, there have none crossed over a bridge except Enoch and Elijah. Neither shall any more do so until the 144,000 meet their Lord in the air. But rest assured, you shall come to the other shore just the same.
Oh no, I shall be drowned forever. I have traveled all these miles to see his face, and now I shall not see it. Oh, woe is me.
Come, Mr. Fearing, you must go over.
Now?
Yea, and thou shalt fare thee well.
Is there no one to attend me?
I shall attend thee, and if you can believe, you shall have more of the best company ever you had.
Oh, oh me!
Come.
Oh, oh me! I go down, but I fear that I shall never come up again. Oh, oh me!
And did he ever go?
Yes, finally. But do you know, the river was lower at this time than I ever saw it. Why, the man walked most of the way across without getting wet above the knees.
Ah, what a merciful God we serve.
Indeed.
And how did he end up?
Well, as he came up from the river and was going up toward the gate, I began to wish him a good reception at the gate. Farewell, Mr. Fearing.
Thank you for your patience and help, Mr. Greatheart.
'Tis only my duty. I wish you a good reception at the gate.
I shall have it. Indeed, have it I shall. Adieu.
And with that, he marched him straight up the hill with his certificate firm in his hand and with his head held high.
Then he was victorious at the end.
Aye, more than conqueror, as I knew that he would be. For I never doubted his heart.
Too bad that he did not take hold on the promises more quickly, and thus travel his entire journey on the sunny side of the cross.
I wished it so for him, and urged him to stop looking so much to himself, but he was never quite able to do so.
I wonder why.
It may have been that he confused temptation to sin with sin itself.
What do you mean, Greatheart?
He would be tempted to this and that, as all pilgrims are, more or less. But he would feel guilty for having been tempted.
But was not even our Lord Jesus tempted?
Aye, in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. And you can be sure that his temptations were the greatest and strongest that Satan could muster.
So, there is no guilt in being tempted.
True. When the world, the flesh, or the devil come upon us, we must turn instantly to God. Surrender our choice to him, and then, in his strength, resist the devil until he shall flee from us.
Oh, if only we could all remember that more faithfully. How many stumbles and snares we might escape.
How many indeed. All of them, in fact, for God is able to keep that which we have committed unto his care until that day.
Well, this story of Mr. Fearing has done me good.
How so, Christiana?
Because he is just like me. The only difference is that when he had fears, he moaned and groaned, whereas I kept silent. And where he was afraid to knock, my fears only made me to knock the louder.
Yes, we have heard about your knockings. Some say the door was shaking on its hinges.
By that, you can see how deep were my fears, can't you?
Aye.
I also see part of myself in Mr. Fearing.
Which part, Mercy?
I, like he, am much more afraid of proving unworthy than I am of lions or demons or other hardships. 'Tis my heart that I do not trust.
Aye, and keep you right on in that course, Mercy. For the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. But, having once come to distrust yourself, do not fail to trust him whom to know is life eternal.
Thank you, Great Heart.
I too have learned from this man.
Learned what, my son?
I too have fears. That made me think that perhaps I was still in my sins. But if such a fearful one as he can enter in, then why may it not also go well with me?
No fears, no grace.
Explain thyself, young man.
Well, is not the fear of God the beginning of wisdom?
Yes.
And doth not wisdom bring with it grace?
Well said, James. Is there another who hath something to say about Mr. Fearing? Nay? Then on to some other topic.